Well, hello, friends. It's Mr. Adam X, and you're listening to The Pursuit on the Out of Bounds Network. Last week, I talked about a new sponsor that I have, and I'm really excited about the sponsor because it's something that's it's awesome, and it doesn't fit. You know, you could say it doesn't fit because I don't use it, because I am not, you know, I'm a straight edge homie from Buffalo, New York. But this week's sponsor and moving forward is Sierra Nevada. You guys know Sierra Nevada because they make beer and you guys drink beer. And I love that people drink beer because my friends drink beer and they have a good time. So, you know, thinking about this sponsorship and how does it work and how does it fit, I was kind of unsure because I, again, don't drink. But talking to people over at Sierra Nevada, talking what their brand represents, what they want to represent, and it really aligns. You know, all their factories are extremely sustainable. They're running off solar power. They're cutting, you know, emissions where they can and still running like a family-owned and operated business. They're the official beer of camping. I freaking love camping, so that's pumped for me. I love this. Like, I am there, and I'm claiming it, and I don't know if it's true, but I'm claiming it. I am their first straight edge ambassador, and I love that. I love that they're willing to take a chance on me, and I'm willing to take on a chance on them because they're a good brand, and I can get behind great brands even if I'm not using that product. All my friends drink Sierra Nevada. They're going to drink more Sierra Nevada now. So check out Sierra Nevada. Check out what they stand for. And drink beers, boys and girls, because we all love drinking beers. While I'm talking about Sierra Nevada, we all know that Sierra Nevada is the official beer of the summer. This year, they're doing a Go Summer contest. Win an epic outdoor adventure. Ready to have your best summer ever? Tag a photo with your best Go Summer moment, and you could win an epic outdoor adventure and some amazing swag. Just tag at Sierra Nevada in your post with hashtag Go Summer. Must be 21 or over to enter. While we're still talking about beers, what a better time to introduce their new seasonal, Summer Break. A go-anywhere with hoppy notes of mango and passion fruit backed by a smooth malt flavor. Summer Break is a perfect session IPA companion to take with you on your summer adventures. Sierra Nevada, the official beer of camping. This week, I have two guests, which is kind of fun and exciting. Two dudes from FXR brand, Matt and Brandon. Matt is the media guru behind the brand, and Brandon is the engineer. He helps design the helmets that keep us safe. We talk about everything, really. The big thing that I learned from it was helmet safety and how important it is to spend a little more money on helmets because it's suspension for your brain. And obviously we know that helmet safety is important, but Brandon really hit it home. You know, so it was cool. It was a fun convo, something a little different. Two guests managing, and I hope you guys dig it. You know, I'm still new to all of this, so I'm working on my mobile internet and having it work. Again, the call dropped for a second. So it kind of picks up right where we left off. But if there is a weird, it happens in the first 5-6 minutes. So again, I apologize for that. And I apologize to Matt and Brandon for that happening. But, you know, it is what it is. We're doing these over Zoom and we're relying on a lot of technology and sometimes it fails. So I apologize for that. But the episode's cool and it's really fun. And we talk fishing. We talk about everything. And that's what we do on this podcast. Is we talk about everything. So stoked for you guys to hear it. And, you know, episode 14 with Matt and Brandon from FXR.
All right, I'll start. My name is Matt Tupi. I work at we're both work at FXR here. I'm the camera guy here. But we all kind of, I guess we all wear like 15 different hats here. Like,
yeah, we all kind of help each other out and just make the whole company work as a whole. And
yeah,
I'm Brandon Kofstad, mechanical engineer here at FXR, working on safety equipment.
And you guys make everything for almost everything outside at this point now, right? Like, because when I hear FXR, I think snowmobile brand, and maybe I'm wrong, but that's where my like PE brain goes.
It's definitely where the roots are here. That's how it all started, for sure. Back in '96, Milt Reimer started it. He's our leader.
And now what are you guys into?
Since then we've branched out into motocross, which is what we're really trying to push hard right now. And then slopes, like what you were interested in. We have a Ridex line that does, you know, all the slope gear, skiing, snowboarding, yada yada. And then we're getting into mountain biking here shortly. That's kind of a teaser. It's not out yet, but
we're working on a mountain bike line, and we can tell people.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's a thought in the brand that mountain biking is a sport to be taken seriously, and you.
Oh, it's not just a thought. No, we're like tackling that. Yeah, we're getting into it.
Sure. We took the brand, and we're looking at it as like everything that we like to do, as people in the company, and we're like, hey, mountain biking would be really sick. Let's make some gear and make it better than anyone else.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's funny growing up like a skier and looking at snowmobilers, and the old snowmobile gear was so different as far as like, you know, the old like Arctic jackets, like with the big old, and there's still some of that in snowmobiling, which is great, but now you're starting to see the crossover because there is so much crossover between skiing, snowboarding, and now gaining access to mountains via snowmobiles. So like, it's cool to see these brands starting to adapt and making techie snowmobiling gear, not just like big puffy jackets with.
Yeah. You're totally onto something there. Like biggest eye opener for me with gear wise is just like how much technology goes into the gear nowadays. It's like as much technology goes into the gear, it's like almost as much as it goes into the machine nowadays. It's crazy. Cause now like with FXR, for instance, like you got all of the waterproofing, you got your flotation, you got your, you know, windproofing, what are the technologies we got? The UPF and the performance gear, which will be in your mountain biking gear. ACMT, so like we have like microclimates within the gear to keep you cool and warm with intake and exhaust venting, and it's all strategically placed and like, yeah, all the nerd stuff that goes into it.
There's a lot more that goes into it than you think, just like, oh, just pick out a material, sew it up in jacket form, you know? We put a lot of pride. Right, yeah. If we're just changing colorways, it's pretty easy. And like a lot of our moto gear, like when we get samples on that, that's all just made in-house. We're able to sub-dye print it up in Canada and ship it down here. We'll get it like next day, pretty much.
So you guys have a factory in Canada?
We have, they sell things in-house in Canada. We got a nice facility up in Winnipeg, yeah. Never actually been there, but
soon.
It's pretty hot-notch. It's cool. For sure. And that's actually been pretty difficult with, you know, not being able to get over the border. We haven't been able to go work with those guys. So we've been using a lot of Teams chat, and it's definitely been interesting trying to figure things out.
Yeah. I can't even imagine imagine like your logistics team being like, all right, this might be here this day. This might not.
Yeah. I mean, we have probably, I don't know, maybe 60, 65 employees up in Canada. And the owner of the company can't even go there because we can't get across the border. So I think just this winter, he was able to get there once.
And he had to stay there for a while.
And he had to stay there, for
6 weeks, 7 weeks, something.
Yeah, good amount of time. So
that's wild. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even think about, I mean, I do think about it, but like not owning a business also in Canada, or a part of your business in Canada.
Yeah, and the bigger part is in Canada.
Right, yeah, we're
spending
like,
right now, so.
We're like the thumb off a hand,
pretty much.
Right, yeah.
Goes down here.
How many do you guys have in the U.S.? How many employees?
15, maybe.
Yeah, I'd say 10, probably about 10,
15. Okay, so you're smaller in the U.S. for sure, then.
We have a bunch of reps all over the country, too. And
yeah, that's like just this forced labor location, I should say.
In the office here, probably 15.
Yeah.
Or so.
But we got, like Brandon said, we got reps around that cover different territories for different gear.
Yeah. Are they all, do the reps cover the same? Do they carry the whole FXR brand, or do you have like a dirt bike rep?
No. I said, it's by gear. So like we got like our fishing line in Minnesota. We got, you know, plenty of lakes. So we got reps in Minnesota that just go to all these fishing shops and sell it, like get our fishing accounts to sign up for some gear.
We have motocross reps that travel to all the supercross and outdoor pro motocross races, all of the amateur national motocross races. And then we have, like in the fish line, we have, you know, fishing reps down in Florida. And then we have some guys that just kind of travel out to a couple different states and sell to all three of the states or so. And There's a lot of moving parts. It's crazy.
You guys have a lot of lines. So let's talk about this fishing line, because that's new for this season, right?
Not this season. That's been around for a year, two, 3 years now. But
3 years? Really?
Relatively new for FXR, yes.
Yeah, it's definitely growing right now. We have, obviously, in Minnesota here, we fish on the ice, too, in the winter. So we have, you know, stuff for fishing, ice fishing.
Yep.
And then we have a huge summer lineup of stuff, too. You know, anything from rainproof jackets and pants to stuff that you'd want to wear out on 90-degree days with UPF protection on it, too. So
I'll just put it this way. Like, you could be underwear, socks, shorts, everything, head to toe, 100% of the year in FXR.
Yeah, hat to wax. That's what I like to call it. You definitely could.
I mean, I wouldn't show up to anything formal in a...
Well, right. Maybe. I mean, you got a collared shirt on.
We could arrange something custom, maybe.
Brand's got a collared shirt on, so that counts.
Yeah.
It's about as dressed up as I get, so that's fine.
What is
the decision to bring... Again, there's no right answer to these. I'm just so interested, again, because we have two brains, one from a media, one from an engineering, to, like, bring things to market. Like, is Milt is the owner, right? Milt is his name? Is that what we call
him? Yep. Milt Reimer.
So Milt is like, hey, I want to bring some fishing gear to market. And then you guys are like, here we go. Or like.
I actually got a couple stories. One story for sure. But like, I know the fishing was actually Jeremy Bester. He's been working here like dang near as long
since it started, pretty much.
Yeah. But he's super into fishing. And Milt kind of just let him start the fishing line. But as far as the Slopes brand goes, one of our employees was just skiing on a hill, and he was wearing a snowmobile piece. Yeah, he's like, why don't we just make this? And then he just like literally called Milt, and he's like, you think we should make some Slopes gear? And he's like, yeah, do it. And it was pretty much as simple as that. Like, yeah, they got on designs and had it in production, and like quick.
We pretty much like I was saying earlier, we take, you know, what we're into, whether it's fishing, anything on the slopes, moto, snowmobiling. It's all the stuff that we in the office, we love to do. We do all of it. We're adventurous like that. And we see the market for it. We're like, hey, let's build our own and let's try to make it better. You know, we pretty much get everything from all the competitors' fish gear to bring in and sit and dissect it and like, hey, how is this made? How can we make it? And, you know, kind of push the envelope on it.
It's interesting that you say you grab the other people's gear. And I think everyone that knows that. Yeah. Like, I used to work for a glove company, and we would buy everyone's gloves and see what they were making.
Oh, yeah, different brands of gloves in there.
Yeah.
You have to when you're, you know, designing anything. You know, you have to see what's out there. And
yeah, I just don't think we think about it as, like, a consumer that, like, oh, yeah, X brand probably bought the other brands and looked at it to make this better or worse or what they liked. And, you know, who has the final say on what gets delivered? Is it a team vote or
I would say Milt.
Yeah. I'd say pretty much a lot of it goes through Milt. He's very involved.
Yeah. And which is awesome.
He loves it all. So, and he's a big wealth of knowledge. So it's like, if we bring designs to him or something, he'll be like, oh, hey, how about we try change this up a little bit? You know, he's been around, you know, designing things for so long. He has a good eye for it.
Yeah. And also he's been doing it just so long. That's a good point. Like, he's on like his 26th version of snowmobiling gear. Right. So he's had so many generations to like improve it, make it better. And like all the different technologies that came along throughout the years get dumped into these new lines. Like any breathing material, like from the moto line, for instance, could get, you know, could benefit the mountain bike gear.
Yeah. Which led me to my next question. I guess you kind of answered it, but do you ever feel like having, like, instead of just specializing in like MX gear or snowcross gear, you're into like ski gear, MX gear, snow gear, or snowmobile gear, fishing gear? Is it harder to manage it all? Obviously it's hard. This is a tough question. I'm sorry. Is it harder? Would it be easier just to focus on one thing and do it really well? Or because you do all of these things, it lets you pick like, oh, this is really breathable from the fishing line. I can put this into a moto sport and vice versa.
They definitely kind of bank off each other a little bit. Like we were saying, you know, you can borrow things from other places, but like for me, for instance, we wanted to get more into protective gear and putting more engineering into it. And that's why I was hired on. And that's what I do. We stay in our own lanes in some sense. And like our fishing guys, they're solely fishing for the most part. And same with our moto guys, they're specializing in moto. So we definitely, we see the need and then we build a team for that.
Yeah. You definitely got to hire the people that have passion towards whatever they're building. So like we wouldn't, like Jeremy Bester is our, like he's kind of, and Chris are in our head of the fishing market, and yeah, they love fishing. So they make it really good because they want it to be better for them, performing better for them.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They understand it.
Yeah.
Do you guys so
like, I don't even like dabble into the Ride-X gear, the slopes gear. Cause I know I'm not a snowboarder. So I know like I'm not as valued in that realm, but like the moto gear, I would have way more important input, I would say.
Yeah, but being media, you're part of all of it at some point, right?
Yeah, I have to film all of it, film and photo all of it. So yeah, I get to experience all of it, which is cool.
He definitely gets to know them, you know, what we make on a different level. So he's familiar with all of it.
Yeah, what's your background, Matt, prior to this? What did you do prior to being the media guy at FXR?
I was roofing houses.
Perfect.
Yeah, so
I mean, that'll teach you enough to know you never want to do it again.
Oh, it's enough. Yeah, it's some discipline, that's for sure. I respect those guys that do that for sure. Yeah.
So how did you get into this?
So the guy before me that worked here and had my job went to the college I went to 10 years before, and I needed internship hours to get my bachelor degree. And one of the professors reached out to Rodney at the time, and they hooked me up with an internship here. I started working with FXR in 2018, and then they eventually hired me on and been here doing all their video ever since.
Did you go to school for film and photo?
I did, yeah. I went to a school called Institute of Production and Recording in Minneapolis/Edina.
Nice.
Highly recommended school. It's cool for anybody that wants to do like audio.
It's a pretty popular school around here for doing that.
And if you so you would go again? You would go back to college if you had to do it all over again? The $1 million question, man.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'd be here without it, but I don't know. I hated it because I full sprinted it, I guess. I graduated high school in 2016 and had my bachelor degree by the end of 2018. So my experience was just accelerated and overwhelming.
Yeah. It didn't sound like you had much time for fun.
Yeah. And then I kind of came, I graduated. I got my first job at working at a bunch of Harley dealerships. And then I started roofing, and then I got hired here.
Yeah, so that was quick because you're a young buck, right? You're 20-something.
Yeah, I just turned 23.
That's really accelerated for college. So I would not want to do a bachelor's degree in 2 years.
How about you, Brandon? What was your background? I know you raced pro motocross. Did you fit college into that? Or?
Yeah, I did. I started out, I graduated high school in 2014 and then went off to college for a couple years at Itasca College in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. And about halfway through my first year, like I was getting through it. I was getting like A's and B's, and I'm like, mom and dad, like I want to race pro motocross. I want to give this a shot. So I ended up moving across the country and was training down in South Carolina, trained there for a couple months and then turned pro that summer. And then after the season, I was like, hey, like I still want to get my engineering degree. I want to finish it out. Like I'm on track, and ended up going back to school, and I graduated in 2019 from University of North Dakota with a mechanical engineering degree.
And how long have you been working with FXR?
I actually started on FXR in June last year. Yeah.
Almost a year.
Yeah, so right out of college, I actually started at Articat, and I was one of the lead designers on snowmobiles.
Oh, wow. So you shifted gears from, like that's major shift.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up racing dirt bikes my whole life, and I figured like, hey, if I can find a passion in motocross, I'm going to find a passion in sleds. And I got into building and designing snowmobiles, and I fell in love with it. And then, it was through all this COVID stuff. I was just talking with the guys here, and they're like, hey, why don't you come here and design safety equipment for us? And I was like, man, to get in the industry that I love, the motocross industry, be able to run with that, I would be down to turn it down. So yeah, I loved Articat, but it's cool here.
Well, and make people safer. Like you have an opportunity to make technology that could possibly save someone's brain.
Yeah. And once you start getting a testimonial from like, man, you, you're, your whatever saved my whatever, you know, like that's gonna be like a whole different.
And he's a living testimonial. Like you lived it. You had a hard crash. You were knocked out cold, and you had no concussion. I mean, I think that speaks for itself in that aspect.
I had no concussion, but I was still pretty messed up. I ended up, and this actually, you know, it's inspired me for building safety equipment. I ended up breaking two vertebrae as well, collapsed both my lungs, and broke a bone in my face. So,
oh, great.
It was a very gnarly crash, but you know, seeing that and being through that, it sucks. It was horrible. I would never wish that upon anyone, but it makes me want to prevent that for everyone else too, and find the ways, find the technology and put it in and invent something new for the industries to keep people safe.
Do you still race?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you're still in it. So
that's going strong. Yeah.
It hasn't changed anything.
No, I was actually out riding last night. So I still love it. I mean, I don't know. At this point, I'm not going to be like one of the top professional motocross racers, but I still want to inspire the younger generation, help them out where I can, and be heavily involved in what I fell in love with. So I don't think until a doctor tells me, hey, you can't do this anymore, I don't think you're going to get me off of any of the things that we do here at FXR.
It's hard to knock passion, man.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I mean, I can't say I'm passionate about, I love riding my dirt bike, but like riding my dirt bike is what I do when I can't go skiing. So right. It like fills that gap. I absolutely love it. If you put me on a track, I would tomahawk in seconds. If you put me in like nasty single track, I love it. Like that's what I live for on a dirt bike. Like weird technical goat path garbage. That's where I want to be. So
sure. I'm guessing you're in the same boat. Like unless someone told you that you can't do that anymore for your health, you're going to keep doing it. You know, I'm healed up from my injuries, I'm good as new.
Yeah. And that's why I love skiing, because people, you know, you can do it from the age of 3 till you're 80. Like it's something that people do, and like it changes the type of skiing you do and how you right. do it. Yeah. But it's just something that you can continue to do forever. And motocross, I think there might be an age where it starts to teeter off. But then what I've found, because my girlfriend races motocross and her whole family, it's this whole family thing. So like her dad doesn't race anymore, but like he's still fully engulfed in it. And that's how he gets to live his passion, because his daughters are racing and now his grandkids are racing. And like he might not be, he'll go out and like do a vintage class once in a while, but like it's this thing that you carry for your entire life. And I don't think you know that when you're like on a PW50 when you're 4 years old. Like this is going to shape my entire life, like riding in circles in my backyard.
Oh, it's wild. Like had I not done circles on a PW50 when I was 3 years old, I wouldn't be here. No way.
Yeah, you'd be roofing.
Maybe.
It's something like, you know, you just fall in love with the rush of it too. I mean, the same rush that you get when you're skiing, you just love it. It's not like a regular, like just, oh, I love this movie. You know, it's like the adrenaline that you get from doing what you like doing. It's just, I can't even describe it. It's just such a cool feeling.
It's a drug, man, right?
Yeah. And I think most people listening understand that. It might not be with, you know, it might not be with the sports that we do, but like you get even something as like, it's not simple, but as simple as fishing. Like there's the people who like, oh yeah, I fish, and they like throw a bobber in the water. And then there's like fishermen who do it for a living. Like there's a reason that those guys get paid to go fishing. It's not easy. It's really hard. They follow weather patterns. They follow, like they're like mad scientist weathermen who can fish. Like it's not
The instruments that they got on those boats now are just ridiculous. Yeah,
and it's cool that you can just take any passion as weird or as far as you want. And that's why I love this world. Like there's people that are just like I'm a pro fisherman. Like what? Like if you told me at 10 someone could be a pro fisherman, I'd be like, no, you can't. Like you just fish. Right. Like you take bread, you crumble it in a ball, you put it on a hook, and you go fishing. It's like, no, there's sunglasses lines for fishing, there's clothing, there's outerwear for fishing. Like it's a whole industry that. And I think it's fairly new as far as that goes, as far as mainstream. And maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but there's always been like, you know, Cabela's and Bass Pro to like get your like heavy duty raincoat.
We are very new.
Right. But there's been like Smith Optics is getting into like fishing. They make sunglasses specifically for fishermen.
I didn't realize how big fishing was.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, it's become this mega, I mean, it's probably a multi-billion dollar industry that.
Yeah. Fishing is way bigger than like your average person would expect it to be.
Yeah. And that's why I love it. Cause it can be one of those things that one, you can do forever and you can take it as like non-serious or serious as you want.
Right.
Like you can go.
Yeah, I think that's with all of the sports too. I mean, like I get out and fish. I'm definitely not good at it. Half the time I don't know what I'm doing, but I still enjoy it.
Are you
same with motocross? You know, you can still get out on
dirt. Yeah, fishing is pretty easy. It's not intimidating to get into either.
Right. Yeah, it's not as scary.
Yeah, but are you like the guy who shows up in your full kitted out FXR gear with like your, and then you have like a bobber and bread, and the other fishermen are like,
fishing,
check out this poser and his full new kit. It's not even dirty.
Oh, people can spot it for sure. I think our fishing stuff's really cool. Like it with the UPF protection that we're getting on it too. Like I honestly, I wouldn't wear anything different. I wore it yesterday just at the motocross track because it was hot out. The sun was baking down and kept me nice and cool.
Yeah. I can't speak on anything for fishing though. Cause I don't want to sound like a fool. Cause I don't know anything.
About the fishing world. About
no, that's my job. I sound dumb on this. So you guys sound cool. That's the point. But what else does FXR have coming? We can't talk too much about mountain biking, but there is mountain bike gear coming down the line. When will we see that?
We're testing a lot of it out this year. I think like more mainstream where a lot of people can get it will be next year and the year after.
And then you guys you're selling in stores. You're not direct to consumer, right? You guys I know you have a bunch of reps, so that's the goal. Sell to stores. Right, but you also sell through stores. You're not only direct.
Yeah, we got plenty.
Yeah, we have reps that go out to our dealers and sell. So hopefully, we'll be tapping into that market with mountain biking and stuff as well.
And then, Brandon, you're going to race the pro circuit this year, or what's your schedule?
That's a good question. I planned on getting up and racing Canadian pro motocross and doing a lot of those, but
yeah,
I'm not going to be able to get into Canada, so I don't really know what my plans are at this point.
Canada just put the flipping band hammer down.
Yeah, they don't want us there. And I don't blame them. There's a lot of shitty Americans out there right now. So I'm like, you know, I don't blame them for being like, you guys can just wait.
Yeah, but as far as events up there, I think it's going to be pretty slim pickings for the season.
Yeah, and then, Matt, what's your plan for the summer? What does your schedule look like? Do you get busier in the summer, slower in the summer?
It's a lot less stress in the summer, for sure, because ultimately snow is what pays the bills here. So we got to put a lot of focus and stress on that. So summertime is definitely like time for me to chill and kind of branch out and like test with new things. Like media wise, I'm getting into those FPV drones this summer for sure. So I'm going to try to have those completely dialed for the snow season next season.
Yeah. So you can safely fly them a foot from an athlete's face.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan.
Do you have any advice for photographers, videographers who want to get into that world? I know you went to school and got into an internship and then any advice for anybody listening who's like, you know, I want to film my heroes?
Just go do it. Like so many, like you can just go film anything you want. You just got to get over the fear of it, really. I learned way more on YouTube than I ever did in college. I'll just be honest with that right now.
A lot of that's the same with engineering.
Dude, let's shoot straight.
Yeah,
just go do it, man.
Yeah, just kind of, I think like in Matt's case, like just visiting with him, he kind of learned as he went, you know. It was something he got into because he liked doing. And nowadays, like you can film crazy cool stuff with an iPhone. Not saying you're going to get the best quality stuff, but.
Yeah, I always say like the best camera is the one you have on you. And that's corny, but like it's true. Like people, I photograph weddings for a living. That's like how I make my living. I'm a photographer. I've shot snowcross you guys were in high school when I was shooting snowcross, but like I did enduro cross, I did mini moto championships. I did the little circuit. I never had, you know, I got paid. I didn't make a career out of it, obviously, and weddings were my business, but like sometimes if you have your phone in your pocket, that's the best camera you have and you just have to make it work.
Dude, and they're good nowadays.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah, they were. But it's something to be said. Like if you know how to take a good photo, you can take a good photo with your phone.
Dude, we've had we've had photos make the catalogs from the from off our phones.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But like, that's where the difference is. Either.
What's that? Yeah.
Nobody will know the difference either.
Like, no, as long as you don't blow it up to a billboard, like, and even still, you can blow them up to a billboard if you layer it enough in Photoshop and like add pixels. Yeah, like it's
how long,
crazy.
How long have you been weddings for?
I've been photographing weddings for almost 13 years.
I would be way more nervous filming a wedding or photographing a wedding than anything moto related. Like that's someone's like only wedding. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, but that being said, that could be ex athletes only win of their career. Like you just don't know that.
Yeah.
Like, or like the only time, like if you're shooting like tricks, you know, if you're like that might be the only time they land a double backflip.
Yeah, like, no, I totally get that too. I don't know. I look at it as like, as much as I love all this stuff, and don't get me wrong, I got to eat, sleep, bleed it, whatever. But like, I think at the end of the day, there's more important things in life.
Oh, for sure. But there's passions, and I think you get to capture people's passion and tell a story and sell fun. Like, that's what you're doing. You're selling fun and safety, which is like...
Yeah, no, we're not complaining over here.
No, it's amazing. What do you shoot? What do you shoot? Canon, Sony?
Sony.
Yeah, Sony. All mirrorless?
Yeah, yeah, an FS7, and we use alpha cameras, so it's like an A6300 and an A7S Mark II.
Nice.
That's really all we use.
That's all you need. Yeah, it's gone so far that you don't need to shoot red to me, but people love that, and it's a flex, so whatever.
I would flex hard with the red.
Well, yeah, everyone does, but you don't need it.
No, you don't need it.
No, it's great. And so, Brandon, you're going to try to race. You won't do the U.S. circuit?
Possibly. Just kind of got to see where I get to at this point. I mean, I'm still coming back from that injury. So I'm still working on just trying to get out, get riding, and be comfortable doing it. I mean, speed is kind of there, but I'm still not to where I was before I got hurt. And I think that's just going to take time. And, man, these guys on the U.S. circuit, like, you go to, like, this local pro race in Minnesota, you got all the local guys that have raced there their entire life, all trying to qualify, and they're all in their A game. So I just got to make sure that if I do it, I got to be putting in my work. So,
yeah, they're fast. There's no better term. They're fast. We talked about this before I started recording. We have a mutual friend, Jesse Kirschmeyer, who races snow bike, snow cross. And I said, yeah. I went riding with him last year, and I was running like my fastest. And we were just like trail riding, but like I was going as fast as I possibly could, like to my skill set. And Jesse was like riding next to me, like goon style, like legs off the bike, like looking at me and like laughing. Meanwhile, I'm like bike's clenched. Like I'm riding as fast as like they are so unbelievably fast that we can't even, and I'm sure you're in this category, Brandon, but like, I can't even grasp how much better you can be at riding something that I can ride also. And I guess that boils down to everything. Like how can someone be that much better at something? It's crazy.
And like motocross racing, it comes down to just a tenth of a second here or there adds up to a second in a lap time, which is huge.
Yeah.
When you're racing. So, and that can be just the slightest thing. Like you lean wrong in a corner. So you really have to perfect your craft in motocross like you do in anything else. And it's crazy physically demanding sport. A lot of people don't see that.
Yeah. There's a ton of fitness involved.
One of the most physically demanding sports there is.
Yeah, I mean, for fitness wise, I'm not where I need to be, but like if I get out on a 35-minute moto in a pro race, my average heart rate's about 170 and I'm spiking in the 200s.
For 30 minutes.
For 30 minutes straight, yeah. And then you have an hour turnaround and then you go do it again. So yeah. It's
motocross.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, I love that you said that because I don't think people realize that. Like, oh, you have a motor, especially all the mountain bikers listening. Like, yeah, you're not working. Like, no, you're working. You have a 300-pound thing between your legs that's trying to kill you, and
yeah,
you have
think
to
I'm,
control.
I'm trying to hold on to a pull-up bar that's just yanking you at 30 miles per hour all the time.
Yeah, and you're throwing the bike around too. I mean, you gotta be going fast with it, and you're going through changing terrain constantly. So it's pretty gnarly.
Yeah,
it's a full body workout, really.
I love
a big
it.
Brain. Yeah,
yeah, it's. like I said, I rediscovered my passion for riding about 5-6 years ago. I rode when I was younger, and then I like fell back in love with it. And it's, when you explain it to people, it just doesn't make sense. Cause you're like, you have a like, great, I'll go mountain biking. And you're like, no, try this. Like, you can ride mountain, not mountain bike trails, but like single track on a 300 cc two stroke through the woods. Like, there's nothing like it on the planet. And I'm sure that's what it's like on a track too. Like, it's just, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. Well, I like riding bikes too.
I can't do woods. Props to anyone that can do that.
That's insane to me.
I can't do it.
I can ride woods. I love riding woods. I don't know how you pass in woods and like race woods.
Yeah, but I don't know how you hit a jump. Yes.
I don't know either. Yeah.
I'm much rather go up these rock piles than hit a jump. That just seems easier to me, but I don't know.
Yeah, you stick with the rock piles. I'm not touching that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. I love the crossover. I think that would be a good, you should do that over a little film series over the summer. You guys, Matt, you should film it. Brandon, you should ride and be like, motocross guy goes in the woods and just be like, throwing your bike on the ground. Like,
we got lots of ideas coming, don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure
cool stuff in store here, especially when Matt gets that drone going.
Yeah, those are the FPV drones are insane.
They're in right now.
Yeah, it's, and they're awesome. They're super intuitive to fly. Once you get it, it's like driving a car, but it's
so hard though. Yeah,
I'm not good at it. I've done it like twice, so, and I'm awful at it, but cool. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Where can people follow you? Matt, where can people follow you? Brandon, where can people follow you? Where can they follow FXR? Where can they buy your gear?
Well, FXR Racing, just at FXR Racing on Instagram, Facebook, you'll be able to find it pretty easy. I'm kind of more flying under the radar most of the time, but you can follow me if you want, just at MAT2P. Just search Matt 2P, T-U-P-Y.
Yeah, you can hit me up on Instagram at bcosta502. It's BKOFSTAD 502, and yeah, definitely check out our FXR stuff on Instagram. We got some cool stuff in store.
Yeah, and we got a dealer locator too for anybody that's anywhere in the world. Kind of check out, see where your nearest dealer is. Otherwise, order it directly from the site, or I can take care of you personally at the superstore here in Forest Lake.
There you go, perfect. Brandon, Matt, thank you so much for hopping on the show. Thank you for talking motorsports, because that's what I like to talk about and I never get to. And yeah,
it was fun. Yeah, thanks for having us. Thank you so much for having us. This is cool.
Yeah, this was great. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, keep in touch.
Cool.
Peace.
Thanks. So that was episode 14 of The Pursuit on the Out of Bounds Network. I am Mr. Adam X. That was Matt and Brandon with FXR. Huge shout out to them for hopping on the podcast, telling us their story, and, you know, filling us in on the brand and what they got coming. Huge shout out to my sponsor, Sierra Nevada. Check out www.sierranevada.com. You can find all their beers, all their offerings. And again, it's a fun partnership for me, because they believe in what I'm doing and I believe in what they're doing. The sustainability, I've never heard anyone say they don't like their beer, so all I can do is get peer reviews. You know, I did a lot of research prior to signing with them. I love it. Like, straight edge ambassador for a beer company. Really fun about this. I love that they're the official beer of camping, because that's all I do is camp. You know, tagline, go summer, clean, simple, fun. Check them out. They have full sustainability, you know, resources on their website, what they're doing to keep clean and how they're doing it. Again, www.sierranevada.com. Check at FXR Racing. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, Sierra Nevada is hosting a Go Summer contest. You can win an epic outdoor adventure. Ready to have the best summer ever? Tag a photo, your best at Go Summer moment, and you can win an epic outdoor adventure and some amazing swag. Just tag at Sierra Nevada in the post with hashtag Go Summer.